Hello, everyone, and welcome once more to our online services here at Calvary Christian. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for once more blessing us so richly in Christ. I thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy. Father, for not just the physical sustenance, but for the spiritual sustenance that we have in this relationship with you. Father, knowing that we are saved because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary, and knowing, Father, that we have a home with you in heaven, and we have this relationship with you now that gives us strength and energy and fills us with hope and joy in the present. Thank you, Father, for the future hope of glory in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to continue in the series that I began just last week from the book of James. We're going to be picking up at verse 16. And once again, I believe you'll see that this is so relevant to our circumstances today. He writes in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. It does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear friends, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." In verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Verse 26, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." In difficult times, it is easy to overlook the blessings of life. We get so focused on everything that's wrong that we don't see the good. When such a cloud of darkness hovers, it's hard to see anything good in the present or believe that anything good could possibly come out of it. James is speaking directly to that very issue. We need to have our eyes open, and the eyes of our heart especially open, to see the light that shines in the darkness, and to help us to find beauty amid the ashes. It was 11:30 p.m. on January 20th, 1985. Happened to be Super Bowl Sunday, when my sister Sheila's home caught fire in the middle of the night. It was during a blizzard with wind chills somewhere around 70 below zero. Their propane furnace malfunctioned and somehow ignited the walls around it. They called 911, woke their three kids who were aging from 1 to 5, and rushed them out to the station wagon parked in the garage. My sister Sheila then backed the car out of the garage to the end of the drive. Meanwhile, as they sat there shivering in their PJs with no shoes, coats, or blankets, her husband Dave had lingered behind in the house, trying to rescue their family dog, Muffin. Sheila remembers fervently praying as she watched for them to emerge from that blazing inferno. Yet when he surfaced, he came alone. There were 4 county fire departments that responded, but their hoses froze during the extreme severe cold, and they could do nothing but watch with the family as their home, with all their possessions, burned to the ground. Sheila told me that she stared in unbelief, wondering What do we do now? The neighbors took them in and gave them some blankets while they broke the news to the rest of the family over the phone to be ready for some unexpected house guests. Sheila's husband Dave said he guessed he'd be getting to know his in-laws a lot better in the weeks to come. The fire had destroyed so much, but it couldn't consume their faith in God and their eternal home in heaven with Him, their confidence in that. In fact, my sister Sheila would tell you that the incident served to kindle a fire within them that would cause their faith to actually increase and to grow. In her own words, she said, "Through all this, I learned that our God walks with us, provides for us, and puts special people in our lives and helps us on our journey. His love is faithful through good times and trials. I know this world is not our home, that stuff is just stuff, that all that really matters is that we walk the path that leads to eternal life, and that whatever we find ourselves in during this lifetime, it too shall pass." She says, "My prayer has always been to be in Him and teach my children and grandchildren that the reason we are here is to honor and praise Him above all else. God is good all the time, even when we're going through a fire." She concludes by saying, "I knew all these things in my head, but now I know them because I lived them." Yeah, my sister and her family could have become so angry over the tragedy, even turning their backs on God. Some do, you know. Yet they chose instead to listen to the counsel of the Spirit, that precious word that had been planted within them that James spoke about, that reassured them that God would restore their home in time and sustain them in the meantime. And so He did. More about that a little later. James says it's one thing to hear the word and another to do as it says. Matter of fact, he says if we don't, then we're deceiving ourselves. In context, claiming to trust God but not living as if we really do indicates that we're deceiving ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. So here's a challenge. Look in the mirror. Take a long, hard look in the mirror. Do you see a son or a daughter of God? Is that what you see? If so, does that image change and fluctuate in times of severe trial? Is it the face of confidence or defeat? Is it one of an obedient child or a rebellious one? Is the image two-faced? You know, some kind of hypocritical reflection of one who practices what they preach only when it's easy. James tells us there's a freedom for those who continue to live according to the truth, even when it's a battle to do so. So many think following God's word is too confining, it's too restrictive. Yet those of us who choose God's direction for our lives find incredible liberty. There's freedom from despair, freedom from the fear of losing material possessions, freedom from worry that so often enslaves hearts and keeps spirits in bondage. And with that freedom comes the liberty to enjoy blessings we may not ever even have anticipated. Among the unexpected blessings that my sister and her family received was the outpouring of compassion and generosity from their community. Though they had home insurance, it took a while before compensation came. How many know that there's red tape? There's always red tape. In addition to some generous emergency relief the Red Cross provided, people they hardly knew, sometimes didn't know at all, made donations of food and money and clothing to them. And it occurs to me that as I consider the words of James, many of them may not have considered themselves to be religious at all. Maybe they weren't churchgoers. Maybe they weren't people who were openly professing faith in God. Maybe they weren't practicing religion in the way that we so often think religion is to be practiced. Their own church and family members helped out immensely. You might expect that would be the case. But they did a tremendous job, and that's not to be dismissed at all. Praise God for the help they received from individuals in the body of Christ that they were connected to. But some other local churches in the area that none of them were affiliated with also helped them immensely. One church gave $1,000 to them, no strings attached. None. Another invited them to freely take whatever they needed from their clothing pantry. Just come and help yourself, whatever you need. Now, some of the theological convictions and practices of these churches were quite different from the one we'd belong to, the one they belong to. A former preacher of ours had even openly criticized their brand of religion. Yet, do you remember what James said? If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. There's that self-deceit thing again. And his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. See, once again, the world so often thinks that our religion is about just going to church and what we do while we're at church. So much more than that. And it appears to me that James is saying that we would be better minding our own religion instead of bashing others about what we might think is lacking in theirs. Too many of us are mouthing off in these trying times, and we ought to be bridling our tongues. James will have more to say about that in the future. And rather than criticizing others for what they may not be doing right, we need to be thankful for the good that they are doing. I'm thankful that a lot of people have been recognized right now. They've been recognized for, you know, serving and helping, being on the front lines. It's not about necessarily their faith. We might not know anything about their faith, but we know that they're caring, compassionate people. And I'm so thankful they're being commended. I'm so thankful that they're doing good. Aren't you? Now listen closely. If you are hearing me today, and maybe even nodding your head in agreement, then don't be mere listeners of the word, but be doers also. Because if you don't do the word, if you don't live according to what it says, if you don't follow it, then you're only deceiving yourself. 2 days after the tragic fire, the storm died down, and my wife, Nina, and I visited the rubble with Sheila and her husband. We all walked about, bending low at times, sifting through the ashes. Not a stick of furniture was left. So many things were not even recognizable. You wouldn't even have known what kind of a room it was used for, the space, if they hadn't had the blueprint in their mind. When we searched the area that was once their bedroom, my brother-in-law Dave found my sister's wedding rings that she'd left on the nightstand, along with another ring that had been given to her by a good friend who had passed away. Sheila had a problem with her hands swelling at night, and so she would take them off at night and leave them on that nightstand. And he found them. He found them. Oh, the nightstand was gone. But the rings were there lying on the ground, blackened by the fire, yet still intact. My sister cried tears of joy that they had been found, even without knowing at the time that they would clean up so well that she would be able to wear them for years to come. It seemed a miracle that God preserved these bits of jewelry that were precious to her. Yet we saw it, that finding of those rings, that jewelry, as a sign of something even more precious, a spiritual truth. Listen to Peter's words in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 5. This is the Apostle Peter writing. He says in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Sounds a little bit like what James was saying, right? We have this new birth. But also he's given us this new birth into an inheritance, he says in verse 4, that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, he says, in this knowledge, see, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Though you've gone through these things, they've come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, he says in verse 7, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In verse 8, he says, though you may not have seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I entitled this lesson, Real Faith and Genuine Religion. Wow. If we really have faith in God and what he's done for us in Jesus, if our religion is not just ceremony and ritual, if our religion is really, seriously, a response to God for his love for us, by loving him and loving others, wow, that's the real deal. That's the genuine article. And so many times, it's not until it's tested do we know that for sure. Maybe there's not much more for me to say. Yet I want to leave you with Romans 8, verse 35 and following. This is the Apostle Paul writing again to the church there. And it should not surprise us that we see some similar themes from the apostles because they're all inspired by the same Holy Spirit. All the scriptures inspired of God. And we're going to find some consistent themes throughout. And he says there in Romans 8, and we looked at Romans 8, 28 through 31 last week. I want you to see verse 35 and following now. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's a rhetorical question. But he goes on to ask, shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, shall they separate us from the love of God in Christ? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long, we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? The fiery trials that you're going through, that I'm going through, that others have gone through, may take their toll, but they will not and they cannot destroy you or your relationship with God because of Jesus. And that's reason for great joy and gratitude, is it not? Matter of fact, when we recognize that, when we realize that, again, we are able to have this inexpressible joy. This great and inexpressible joy. What is it? It's almost like there aren't words to describe it. You've got to experience it. And once you know the love of Christ, once you know and understand that you've been saved and that you have a home in heaven and nothing, no matter what happens in all this world, in all your life, in all creation, no matter what happens, no matter what comes at you, no matter what comes after you, nothing can take that away. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. I thank my sister Sheila for allowing me to share her testimony and her story today, but we all have a story. We all do. Maybe you've been through similar things. Maybe you've been through things that are worse things. Maybe you're going through something right now that you just can't see. How in the world are you going to get through it? You're asking like she did, what do we do now? I'll tell you what we do now. We lean on Jesus. We turn to God. We ask for help. We ask for strength. We ask for perspective to help us to deal with this. We need increased faith. We need stronger faith to believe and keep believing and hold in there and not quit. To keep on keeping on. And it's not drudgery. No, remember, it's great joy. And as we saw last week, James would say in verse 2 of the first chapter that we can count it all joy. Count it all as joy. Because of what God has done for us in Christ and what he promises yet to do. It's good news. God bless you. If we can be of any help to you, let us know. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you in Jesus' name for this word of truth. We thank you for the reminder of how important it is that we do have genuine, real faith and that our religion be real. Dynamic, something again that not only we know is genuine and real, but that others know is genuine and real because we live it out every day. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reward that we have waiting for us in heaven. Thank you for the comfort and care and strength that we have in the here and now through your Spirit. Father, may we encourage one another. May we support one another. May we be there for one another in any ways that we can, knowing, God, that no matter what we may feel Satan has taken away, no matter what, again, might be destroyed, that we have depended upon, our relationship with you is eternal and secure. Thank you for that knowledge. In Jesus we pray, and amen. God bless you. Have a great week.